You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Is it now? Did I send you a... Oh, thank you. Has it got there? It's more to the point. So I'm just going to get a tissue. Oh, tissue. Oh, I've got a string everywhere. We have sung some amazing words today, and if you don't hear anything I say, hang on to those words, because they are truth, and they are really what we need to dig into. So we have spent a long time, it doesn't twist, does it, looking at the kingdom of God, or some time, and what the kingdom is like, and what God is like, and it's underpinned by love, it's unshakable, it's power, Jesus is the way. And we are going to think for a few weeks about how that affects us, living as citizens of that kingdom. Knowing what we've heard about over the last few weeks, how does that change us and how does it affect us? We have a, what do you call it, a motto? I don't know, what would you call it? Love God, love people. Strap line, but anyway. Love God, love people, make disciples. And this, how we're living, knowing what we know about the kingdom, is designed to facilitate us loving God, loving people, and making disciples, because they all fit together. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. There's a has, that's about the old, and there's an is, a now, and that's the new. And we are not the same as we were. It's already happened. The old has gone, and the new is here. We sometimes have to spend a bit of time realising all that we are now, but that doesn't mean we aren't it. Doesn't mean we're not new. So, we are citizens, and what is a citizen? Sorry. A person who belongs to a particular country or state has legally recognised rights and duties as a member of that state. He has rights because of being born there or because of being given rights, and it implies allegiance to a personal sovereign. And we are citizens of the kingdom that we have spent weeks thinking about. We are. If you are a new creation, you are a citizen. There is no doubt. Therefore, you have rights because of being given rights as a citizen of the kingdom of God. You have legally recognised rights and duties as a member of the citizen, the kingdom of God, for being a citizen of God. So there isn't a maybe about it. There is a you are. A citizen. There's not a maybe. So we have been given rights. You know, Knut was talking about the power and authority last week. We have been given rights because we have been made in citizens. Ephesians 2:19 says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. This might be the first slide. Oh, yes. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. You are citizens. You are members. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, outsiders without rights of citizenship, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, God's people, and are members of God's household. And the message says, that's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You are no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. It is quite clear that it's an are, that's not a maybe, if you. There are conditions, but it's without conditions. It says you are as much right. So I think we need to accept our position as citizens. If we are going to live in all of the things we've sung about this morning, and we've sung some fantastic songs and some fantastic words, if we're going to live in the light of all of that, we have to believe this. Because otherwise we'll sit there thinking, well, that's all right for them. Well, they, you know, they clearly read their Bible every day, so, you know, they qualify. There isn't a qualification other than coming through Jesus. We are citizens with the rights of being a citizen of that country, of that kingdom. Revelation 5, 9 to 10 says, they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve a God, and they will reign on the earth forever. That's part of being a citizen. That you have been purchased and you're going to serve God and you will reign forever. That's an eternal reign. We belong to this kingdom. We are citizens of God. It is because of God. It's because of his love. It's because of his mercy. It's because of his grace. But that doesn't alter the fact that is what we are. We are citizens. We can spend weeks, months, days, whatever, thinking we're not worthy. But we are. That's what God says. And we have to choose, am I going to live in the light of what God says, or am I going to keep listening to this voice that says I'm not worthy, or I don't fit, or I've messed up again, or whatever it is. God says we're citizens. God says this is available to you. That's your position. That's your standing. Seated with him, welcome, belonging. We have been given rights. It's the gift of God to us. I've been thinking the last few weeks about everything I think about is a gift. I do, you know, as you think about that thing and think, oh yeah, that's another thing you give me. That's another thing you give me. God is so generous in what he gives, in what these rights and what these privileges and what we get as being a citizen. He just gives and he gives and he gives. And so we just need to stand in awe of the position we are in. But we can't stay standing in awe. We've got to go and love people, and we've got to go and make disciples, and we've got to love God. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to end, but it will itself endure forever. And we a couple of weeks ago, we were saying about how the king of the land where Daniel was, obviously that was 2 weeks ago and that slipped my mind, had this dream about a statue and it had a head of gold and there was some bronze in there somewhere. And this was the interpretation of the dream. And it says in the time of those kings, so it's not far in the distance when the new heaven is here. It's in the time of those kings when they're being destroyed that there will be, because it says in the time of the kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. So that kingdom is now when those others are there and being destroyed. And so it is those rights, although we will see more of it in the future, those things are available, are there now. In Luke 17:21, it says, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So all that we have thought about is within us. It's there. And we need to hold on to this and pursue it. This gift, these gifts, God is waiting for us to pursue and take off. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's what we're about. That's what we're trying to train our mind and our heart to think about. That's all that matters. That's what I'm going to run after. And all these other things will be added to you. God wants our heart, our eyes to be fixed on him and pursue all the gifts he's given us. It's not like a slave having to pursue and something hard, although there will be hard times in there. It is the gifts of God that God is just desperate that we take hold of and live in the light of, and just walk in and take hold of more and more. So the potential is ours and it's within us. The kingdom of God, in Matthew 13, 31, 32, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest garden of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds can come and perch on it. So I have some mustard seed here. And Andrew's going to come and show you, who doesn't know, how small they really are. They are tiny. They are really small. So there's one there. Now, I have to say, I was researching mustard seed trees and mustard seed plants and couldn't quite get an agreement on whether they were trees or plants. And then some say it's not really a tree and what their sizes were. I have a tape measure here. So there is a variation, and apparently there are an awful lot of different mustard seed plants. Well, I've learned a lot in my my research, but all of them grow. So they start off that small, and they grow. If planted, they grow. They don't grow just sat as a seed, but they will grow. So some of them, I've put it in inches. I get told off for using inches by Andrew. the smallest one I could get grew about that big. Yeah? So that was the smallest one. So that small to this size. That was the smallest one, the plant that was going to get. So that's about 71 centimetres. Some of them... grow to about 2 meters. So that small to that big. Some of them I'm going to crash the ceiling because it's up to 5.5 to 6 meters, so 3 times that high. Tree-like, but apparently a plant. So I've researched. So I think you just loved doing that when you were a child. slightly. And this is our invitation. You might feel you're like that little seed. Yeah. Insignificant, small, lacking in any gifts, you can't do things, you don't see a potential in you, but God sees this for you. You might be a 71 centimetre plant, you might be a 2 metre one, you might be a 6 metre one, but God doesn't see you and your life like that, he sees it like this. You know, it's our invitation to think, with you, God, with you, this is what I can be. If I pursue you, if I put you first, if I put your kingdom first, that's what I can be for you. And it says, and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches, so that it can. This is our invitation. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how many times you think you've messed up or given up. It's not too late. This is our invitation to grow from here to here, to go from this to this to this to this. God is saying, just come and see what I can do in and through you if you seek after me. And if you take hold of all that you've sung, all that you read, all that you're hearing, you can be a plant or a tree that someone grows into. So God is saying, come and take another step today. I love church. Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And in 2 Corinthians it says, we all with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Transformed. So you are new. You are clothed in a cloak of righteousness, but you are being made perfect. But you are new. This happens in the context of you being a new creation, and you being new, and you being a saint, and you being seated with him in heavenly places. This is his promise. This is what we see. So we can grow from here to here, from here to here. We can be a plant that begins to produce more and more fruit as we allow the Lord to transform us. And notice, it's not transform us from being nothing to being something. It's being transformed from one degree of glory to an even greater degree. It's not you are nothing as you are now and someday you will be something. It's you are, but there's more, and there's more, and there's more. And we just need to, it's not going to be a once and an all thing. It's a continuation, a carrying on. All that we have heard about the King and the kingdom is not merely for us to know. It is supposed to transform us, to change us, to change how we think, how we act, how we react, what we do, what we don't do. As we grasp it, as we live by it, it facilitates that being made holy, that being transformed from one degree of glory to another degree. We are supposed to change. We are not supposed to stay the same. We are supposed to change from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, to become even more like him in his image. It doesn't matter where you are on the journey. It doesn't matter if you've just started the journey, if you've been on the journey for 60 years. It doesn't even matter if you've actually just stopped to have a rest, or you've just, I don't know, got a bit jaded. We are still... God is amazing, isn't he? Isn't he just, I don't know, you just stand in awe that he says, I know you've stopped, I know you've taken a step backwards, but come on, seek after me. There's more, there's more, there's more. We need to allow this truth to broaden our expectations. All that we sung this morning, it's not just something to sing about, it's something to base our reactions and our actions on. If we're saying that God has brought freedom, we have to start saying, well, God, I don't feel this freedom at the minute, but you say, and I'm going to push into that and I'm going to pursue that. So we have to renew our thinking in line with the truth of the kingdom of God, because we are citizens of it. We are new creations. We are citizens of heaven. And we can't just sit and think, yeah, that's great, I like that. That's good stuff. It is good stuff. Because it's good stuff. But that pursuing and seeking and taking hold of. You know, it's like treasure. Treasure's great, but you've got to seek it and find it and dig it up and take it. So we need to be prepared to seek for that kingdom impact on us as citizens. And I was thinking about this in relation to soil and as it's a plant. And so a mustard seed, oh, can you put the next picture on, has tap roots. These are tap roots, and they have a main root going down the middle, and then they have lateral roots going off, and it pushes deep down. Dandelions have tap roots. I don't know if you've ever tried to pull one off, pull one up. They are hard to pull out. If you pull, then they often just snap at the top, don't they? That's how we're supposed to be. With this tap root holding us grounding us, so that it might snap what you can see off, but actually there's something down there. So the root system anchors the plant, it holds it in place, and it helps it withstand drought and wind. It also helps feed the growth above the soil. So what we are sinking into will affect what happens up here. So if we want to be anchored in the kingdom of God, we've got to seek it down. We can't see below the surface of the soil, but what is there influences how big the plant grows. You know, we can't see root systems, we see beautiful plants. But what happens underneath is why that happens up here. In Colossians 2:17, it says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And in the Amplified, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in union with him, reflecting his character and the things you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin, having been deeply rooted in him and now being continually built up in him and becoming increasingly more established in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. See, we're not just doing this for us either, are we? As it says there, living lives that lead others away from sin. So we are asked, encouraged to seek first the kingdom of God, and we are blessed beyond measure of all that we are given as part of being a citizen. But there is a part of it that isn't just for us, it's for others as well. So I've got a picture here. These are just some of the things we've mentioned over the last few weeks. This is the soil, and the soil is all that we've learnt about the kingdom of God. And so with the idea that we need to sink deeper and deeper and deeper into this, because this is what will anchor us, this is what will enable us to survive when drought comes, and it does. This is what will happen when the wind is blowing, this will anchor us. So we won't break, we won't snap, because we are strong and our roots have gone deeply into what God has done, and in it is his kingdom, and into all that we are, because we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And we know that actually what underpins everything is his lavish love. It was at the beginning, it will be at the end. His love is eternal. That underpins everything. It transcends everything. It holds everything. It underpins it all. Not just some, but little lavish. My beloved is his, and I am mine, and I am his. He gives us his love, but then goes on to keep on giving his love. Over and over, he pours it on all of us. And it's not just for, some of you don't get more than the others. I don't get more than you. You know, what you're male, female, young, old, I don't know, English or not English, is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. God has the capability of lavishly loving, pouring his love, giving his gifts to all of us beyond measure. I don't know about when I was pregnant with my second child, I began to wonder how you could love another child as much as you love the first one. And what I found was your love just grows and expands to include that. And that's because I mirror some of God's character and how I'm made. And therefore, he doesn't love you less than you. His love is so huge and endless and lavish and amazing that it is more than sufficient to give and pour on all of us, and all of us in this country, and all of us in this world. There is beyond measure with all of it. So we know that lavish love underpins everything in the kingdom. I don't know if it's an order I've done them. Seated in heaven, Christ seated us because his work is finished. He sat and rested in heaven, and he invites us up to him. We are in him, and we share in that completed victory. Our spiritual position of seated in heaven is already established. We're raised to this new life. When he's given us this new creation, this is where we are. It's a position of high honour, and we have access to heaven, blessings, all these, the armour of God, because we are seated with him, and that is part of being in his kingdom. We talked about the goodness of God, and that Psalm 34 invites us to taste and see that the Lord is good. And we know that he's eternal, and we need to see some of these things with an eternal perspective. But God is good. And we can choose to listen to the enemy when he says, that is not good that's happening to you. Or we can say to God, I don't see how this is good, but I know you are. So I'm going to hang on to this. And that's why we need to sink these roots down. Because we don't always know what's happening in the future. And so actually, the more we do this, sink it down into the goodness of God. Sink it down to God's unending love. Sink it down to being forgiven. Sink it down to being unshakable. The more, when wind comes, will we withstand what the enemy is throwing at us. Grace. I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian a fair long time, and I get amazed at how unending God's grace is, and how extensive it is, and how it keeps on going and keeps on going, and he keeps pouring it on me, that we not only have his mercy and we don't get what we deserved, but we have his grace going way beyond. Not only does he not pass judgment and condemn us, he gives us and gives to us, pours his Holy Spirit onto us, blesses and blesses, gives out of his unmerited favour. What grace is ours? What privilege is ours? Freedom. You know, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom. It is for you to be free. Yes, we want to react to that and respond to that, but God has set you free to be free. Jesus said he came to bring release for prisoners. He came to bring us free. If there's things you are feeling in prison about, then God has come to set you free. We heard last week about authority and power. And God has given us the legal right to act on his behalf. I mean, that is an amazing phrase. It's come back to me over and over this week. That he's given us the power to enforce God's authority. And the Holy Spirit to exercise that authority. We need to sink into that. We need to sink into his authority. We need to sink into the revelation of God giving us that authority and that power. You know, it's the same power, Scripture says, that raised Christ from the dead. If it can raise Christ from the dead, whatever you're humming and hawing about is within its grasp. You know, we just need to expand our thinking way beyond our human organisation and our human understanding. This isn't going to be understandable. You're not going to be able to reason it. You might like to be a person that reasons things, but you're not going to be able to. Just sink yourself into it. Sink yourself into it. Some people will think you're brainwashed. It doesn't really matter what they think. Sink yourself into God's goodness. Sink yourself into his eternity. Sink yourself into his authority. Ephesians 1 says, I pray that you will see how great the things are that he has promised to those who belong to him. I pray that you will know how great his power is for those who have put their trust in him. It is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. This same power put Christ at God's right side in heaven, where you are. Father's welcome, we heard about that he has given us the right to become children of God. All who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Hebrews tells us to have confidence to come. You know, it says in somewhere, Matthew, I think, he knows how many hairs are on your head, and you might think you've not got many, or some have fallen out, or whatever. But when you stop and think about that, it is incredible. I don't know, I've heard that phrase so many times, but yesterday I was just thinking, everyone. So when I used to pick the grey ones out, God knew that one had gone now. It is an incredible statement, because he doesn't just know how many are on my head, he knows how many are your head, he knows how many are your head. He knows him. That's how well he knows you. That's how well he loves you. That's how much he wants you to step in to all that he's got ready. You know, he wants us to be in relationship with him. He wants us to be intimate with him. He wants us to come and sit on his lap and say, come on. You know, we see in the story of the prodigal son that the father created a place where forgiveness and repentance could take place. He didn't insist on it first. He welcomed. And then after a while, the son says, I'm not worthy. But actually, the first thing was the father's welcome. The first thing was that hug of saying, you are accepted. You are welcomed. You belong. You know, he runs to embrace us. That's what he did in that parable. He ran to welcome the son. We heard also that he was eternal. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom, we've already read this, that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. Eternal rule and reign, eternal love, eternal goodness, eternal authority, ultimate authority. His eternal sovereign and purpose. When we see the word eternal, this is what's eternal. You can't almost think of them in isolation. You have to see it as the whole. We're called by name. The one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are, not will be, are. We heard also that Jesus is the way into this kingdom. John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave us his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. And in Ephesians it says, but now at this very moment in Christ Jesus, you who were once so very far away from God have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, we heard that Jesus didn't just die for us and rise for us. He shares his life with us. He says, come and sit with me. Come and walk with me. And, you know, we could have put hundreds more. I'm sure you can think of other things. But we'd be here all day if I put everything on there. You know, it says the kingdom is righteousness, peace and joy. And there are so many more. But what we need to do, whatever one God highlights in you, is to sink into it, to meditate on it, to say, God, teach me this. I want to be more aware of your authority. I want to be more aware of your welcome. I want to be more aware of where I'm seated. And I want to pursue that. You know, the roots enable us to be anchored, to withstand drought and wind, to grow and ultimately bear fruit. And the enemy is going to try to bend us, break us, uproot us. I mean, it says, doesn't it, that he's out to destroy us. And he will want to stop us, never mind these tap roots. They want us, any roots, if he can. And so it is not always going to be easy to find time or to push into something. And we've said before that we can have quite a... What we see is what often dictates what we put our hope in. And actually, you don't see the roots. You see what is the fruit of the roots. And so we need to be living. And I think Canute said this last week, with this more spiritual realm, more aware of what's going on in the spiritual realm, not always looking at face value in the world, because we live in a very mixed up world nowadays. And what we see at face value is often contrary to what the kingdom of God is about. You know, we've been made saints, we are children. I was thinking, I was looking at the word saints the other week, that how in this world, to be called a saint, you can't do it till you die, which I suppose is slightly true if you die to self, but you have to earn sainthood. But God gives us sainthood. You know, Jesus said he comes to bind up the brokenhearted. That's not necessarily a once and for all thing. It's an ongoing release from captivity, a crown of beauty for ashes, oil of joy instead of spirit of mourning. All of those things we need to keep sinking into. Jesus lived in response to what he saw the Father doing, not to what he saw the enemy doing. And we need to be pushing into this so that we do the same. We need to bring heaven to earth. We need to live what's the Father doing. I'm going to live that way, not what I can see. So we need to sink our roots down into the truth of God's kingdom so that when on the surface things are not as we might have hoped or expected, when we have to wait for the evidence of this, that we are convinced of the invisible and keep waiting and keep expecting until and expecting the invisible to become visible. We keep expecting heaven to come to earth. We have to develop an outlook and a mindset, a stance, a taproot into God's kingdom that goes beyond the seen and is aware that there is more. A place of Jesus' authority, a place where God is sovereign, is at work and reigns. Live beyond what we see and live with, and an ever-increasing awareness of the kingdom of God and that all that entails. We need to know in here. We need to see through this assurance, this knowing, this viewpoint. This is what needs to influence us, to shape us and to shape our thinking, to shape our mindset. And it won't always be easy and it will require effort. But, you know, we want to be those that grow and grow and grow. We want to be those that bear fruit. We want to see people, because we live in the light of the kingdom of God, that people will see his character in us and leave the life of sin. That's how much potential you have, I have. But I need to grasp more and more. My roots need to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the nature of God and his kingdom. It's not going to be a once and all for all thing. It is going to be ongoing. God's going to ask you to pursue and pursue and to seek and to seek. But we want to just be those that respond and say, I want to be what someone that is not going to be thrown when drought comes. I'm not going to be thrown when the wind blows. I'm going to sink my roots deeper so that fruitfulness will rise up. Father, we just need to grasp afresh more of how much you have made available for us, how much you want to give to us, how much you say, here is my authority, here is my unshakable character for you to stand on, here is my love. Come on, Caris. Come on, Andrew. I've called you by name. Lord, there is so much to take up. But, Father, we want to be those that pursue and respond. We want to be those who just say, yes, I don't know, I won't understand. I'm prepared to let go of needing to understand. I'm prepared to let go of what I look like. And I just want to push in to the mystery, push in to the enormity of the kingdom of God being available for me. Lord, we just want to honour you. We just want to worship you. We want to say, here I am, here I am, here I am. Father, I pray that you would just lay upon all of us one of something that we've not pushed into enough. And it might be on that list and it might be something completely different. But Father, I just pray this week that we would be those that push in. Push into this characteristic, push into this gift and right that you give us as citizens that we've not yet pushed into or that we've put down. And I just pray now, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, would you just come afresh and just speak to us and challenge us and just encourage us to say, here I am. I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to pursue this. I'm going to sink my root deep down into you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what privilege is ours. Oh, what blessing is ours. This is not God. The enemy will try and say it's something to be afraid of. But it isn't. God is a good God. What he's inviting us into, what he's saying, come and pursue, is because he is good. And he just wants to give more and more to us.